You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Wall Street Journal analysis found that nonprofit hospitals give less charity care than their for-profit counterparts. A reporter explains here on the Ideas Network. Now, when you throw burgers on the grill, you'll inevitably grapple with the conundrum that all grill masters face. Your patties are sizzling, maybe starting to drip a little. Are they ready to be flipped? You want to get them a nice char from the grates of the grill, but you don't want to dry out the meat. And then once you do flip them, you're left wondering, again, was that enough time? Will they be done? Should I flip them another time and another time? Our guest today knows your struggle and decided to use his expertise in math, physics, and thermodynamics to look for a definitive answer. Jean-Luc Thibault is a professor of applied mathematics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He crafted a mathematical model for how often to flip a burger or any other food on a grill to cook it most efficiently. Jean-Luc, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Let's just get this out of the way. How many times is the optimal number of times to flip a burger?
Well, I've been saying four, though in my paper, I don't actually give an optimal time because the answer would be as many times as you can, but you'd need to go faster and faster each time. So you have to kind of hit a sweet.
And how long do you wait between those flips? Sounds like we might need to reconnect with Jean-Luc, so you can give us a call at 800-642-1234 as we talk with a mathematics professor about how there is an art and maybe some math to grilling. You are welcome to give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us your ideas at ideas@wpr.org. Talking about that opportunity, when you flip, how long you figure out when it's done. I know that there are other items people use on the grill too. And sometimes people are very much, I don't flip things. They stay as long as possible. They cook all the way through and I flip at the end. Or maybe you're one of those people that knows that you should flip them less, but you're just consistently, constantly at the grill with the spatula or, you know, clinging those tongs together and flipping. How do you handle grilling and how do you figure out how often to flip meat or veggies or whatever else you're putting on the grill? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. It's one of the many different things that we talk about here on Central Time. Up ahead, we're talking about Wall Street analysis that some nonprofit hospitals get major tax breaks for the charity care that they offer. But when we actually look at the data, they aren't giving as much charity care as you would think. So that's still ahead on Central Time, along with A Wisconsin Life about making tortillas. So stay tuned for that. I think we have Jean-Luc Thibault back with us. Professor, are you here?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm here. I'm not sure what happened.
No worries. Technology is a gift and a curse. So you were talking about the fact that optimally, you would have to flip burgers quickly, and you would have to change the intervals. Help us understand. You're a math professor, not a food scientist. How did you make this model?
So I was reading an article in the food blog by Kenji Lopez-Alt, who's a well-known food writer, and he was mentioning that, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the number of times to flip a burger. Well, you know, some purists say once and you're done, and other people say that you should kind of flip as often as possible because, in a way, the more you flip, the more you're exposing to the hot side, so the faster it'll cook. So I wanted to see whether, you know, if you tune between these two extremes, what would you get as cooking times? And the conclusion is that you do cook faster if you flip more, as you might expect. But there's very much a diminishing return. So after doing it about four times, in other words, you're not really gaining much on the total cooking time.
Without getting too far into the weeds, how do you approach a math problem like this conceptually?
Well, I love to do what's called modeling in physics and applied mathematics. So we write equations that describe the kind of building blocks of the system that we're trying to model. So we think carefully about, you know, in this case, heat is clearly the important thing, right? But we also need to think about what it does it mean to cook and how do you build that into a mathematical model. So the art of mathematical modeling is to first break up the problem into little bits and reformulate it mathematically, and then just kind of see what tools you have available to analyze this problem. And sometimes you need to invent new tools, which is the fun part of being a mathematician.
So you put together this mathematical problem. The model is theoretical. Have you tried it out in the real world to see how it functions in practice?
I try to be a little bit realistic about this model in the sense that I set out to do this because it was sort of, to me, an intriguing first step. But there's so many things that I didn't put in this model, like the fat content of the meat, which will, you know, would vary depending on what you grill, right? So the model really should, at its base, applies to burgers, but also to chicken or to eggplant. And once you start going into the details, that can shift the cooking time by a lot, as everybody knows, of course. And so, you know, to say that I've tried the model, it predicts some broad things. Like, for instance, it predicts an interesting thing, that the last flip is the most important, that the last cooking period should be twice as long as the previous cooking period. So that's something interesting, and I'm going to try to experiment a little bit with that. But I would say that the model doesn't, I would not say the model makes precise enough predictions at this point to be able to rely upon it to actually do grilling. It's really what we call a qualitative model more than anything at this point. But it could be made more complex.
We had John from Freedom say, you cook meat as little as possible and then you let it sit. Don't play with it, just let it cook. What do you think about that when you also have this model that encourages you to flip the burger to cook it most efficiently?
Yeah, I think it depends on what meat you're grilling, because flipping a burger, one thing you're doing is you're dumping all the fat whenever you flip. So, and some people consider that to be a very bad thing, right? But if you're cooking something more like chicken or like eggplant, you know, if you're grilling eggplant on the barbecue, then you're clearly not dumping any fat. So I would say that the model is probably a little bit more applicable to eggplant than it is to burgers or to grilling, you know, zucchini on the barbecue or something like that. In that case, I think moisture is much less of a concern than it is with meat.
So some of the variables we've already pointed out are the fat content, the moisture content. What are other important variables involved in calculating this?
Well, one next important one is texture, right? One thing I didn't put in at all is that people like to have grill marks. People like to have a crust on a piece of meat, right? So that part, I'm not even really sure how to simulate that, right? I mean, there's a limit to what mathematical models can tell us. The human palate likes various things about food, and there's only so much I can do mathematically to model things. So no grill marks in my model.
So that's one of the things I guess you can't measure or really account for in a mathematical model for flipping burgers.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't account for all of it, why do you find it still meaningful to think through a model for something like this, even if it doesn't apply to everything practically?
So sometimes you learn things about the physical process itself. And in fact, what this modeling problem has its origins in other work that I do involving, say if you want to cool a microprocessor, you use a fluid, and the fluid is kind of taking heat away from the microprocessor and liquid cooling. And the overturning of the fluid has a lot to do with the same way that the burger is getting flipped on the grill. You're really trying to take heat away from the system. For the burger, you're trying to put it in, but taking it away is the same thing as putting it in mathematically, except with a minus sign. So the real motivation behind all this is just to understand more and more about thermal transfer and about how we get heat in and out of things, which is an important problem in so many areas of the world. As we live in Wisconsin, so we know very well that it's either too hot or too cold, right? So we need to do something.
Well, as long as we can hook people's attention with a burger, I think we can talk about it more. Jean-Luc, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Keely.
Jean-Luc Tufaut is a professor of applied mathematics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Right now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about the simple joys of making tortillas.
Many of us have strong memories tied to making food with our families. Writer Araceli Esparza shares a poem about the bonds that are nurtured while making fresh, fluffy tortillas from scratch.
She gets the flour. She gets the flour and the salt. She gets the flour, the salt, and the water. Hungry for my cloud tortillas. Waiting feels like a year. The water, the flour, and the salt in a bowl. she begins. Hungry hunger rumbles in my tummy. She folds in the parts of my cloud and tells the dough how much I will love what it will become. Pitter-patter, thump-thump, everyone comes down the stairs. And now we all squeeze in to watch Josita, Tommy, Lupita, and even little Juanito. On the table, she rolls a little ball of masa. Will I get my own? Then she centers the masa ball on the tortilla press, pulls down the lid, and presses hard. Pat, pat with her manos. 5 kids watching, waiting. Will I get my own? Smack on the comal on the stove. Dale vuelta, tia. Give it a turn, tia. We whisper, shout. Little Juanito begins to whine. My cloud tortilla dream begins to evaporate. Couple of turns and browning. Bubbles form. Will they burn? My cloud tortilla was done all fluffy, light, and warm. Tia asks, who wants the first tortilla? Everyone answers, me, 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 me. But I say, yo, por favor. Tia gives me the puffy treat I've been waiting for, and I float to the ceiling. I spread a butter moon on top of my tortilla, but I see little Juanito, and I roll it up and give it to him, and I show him how the cloud eating is done.
That's Madison writer Araceli Esparza sharing a poem about making tortillas. I asked her why she wanted to write about food and her family.
I remember as a small child, like, going up to New Berlin with my great aunt and my grandmother and my mother and, like, all of us driving up there to visit her. They've known each other for so long, and, like, just her cooking and, like, the flour tortillas. Oh, my gosh. I never seen somebody, like, make them by hand. So when you go in Mexico, you typically see corn tortillas made in a machine, a tortilla, right? And so, but to see the process done by hand and then just the, it was so methodical and just so yummy. Oh my gosh, just like a slice of heaven.
So what have tortillas meant to you in your life?
You know, when I think about all the debates that's happening right now and what can bring us together, people often say breaking bread. Let's break some tortillas together, right? We can have country tortillas. We love our street tacos. Let's talk about that more and, like, let's talk to each other while we're breaking tortillas, maybe. I have tons of little tortilla stories about, like, one time I, like, you know, when you have an electric stove, like, okay, so I get kind of picky of how to cook them. Like, a gas stove tortillas are just so much better than an electric stove, right? But sometimes, okay, with the electric stove, you have to really watch when you make them, and they can come up actually rubbery and hard. And so there's this anecdotal moment that I remember clearly with my grandmother, and I had an electric stove, you know, I was living in apartments and stuff, and, like, I make her these tortillas, and, like, she takes a bite and, like, literally throws it at me. Like, this is not quality, girlfriend. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, I've taught you better. And I'm like, I'm dealing with an electric stove, abuelita, you know? This isn't, there's not a gas stove here.
Araceli Esparza is a writer based in Madison and host of the podcast Midwest Mujeres. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Tortilla, tortilla, necesitas una tortilla. Tortilla.